Yeah, that's not going to happen anymore. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Throwback Reviews Podcast. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about Star Wars. And the reason we're doing this is the official trailer just came out for The Force Awakens. And so we thought, you know what, we kind of were talking about it on Voxer today. And we thought, you know what, let's just record something. And so here we are. We're going to be talking about that. And I'm sure it's going to kind of lead into basically the whole Star Wars franchise as far as the films go anyway. Maybe you guys can give me your input, but I don't think we were ever going to do a New Hope episode of Throwback or Empire or, you know, Jedi. I never planned on it myself. I thought it was, one, something that's been done a lot, which what we're doing now is probably being done a ton now that the trailer's out. But I figured we could just get everything kind of in one little cast here.
Yeah, because you know, even if you're going to do like a New Hope or something, how would you just stop with one movie? You know what I mean? I mean, I think it would, if we tried to do it, you'd lead into other movies and toys and memories, and it'd be like a,
yeah,
you know, maybe we do a fundraiser sometime. We do like a 24-hour Star Wars podcast.
No.
I do that.
And the other thing is, you know, when we do the other movies, nobody, the listeners or even ourselves, we don't generally know how we're going to react to the movie. A lot of times it's something that maybe you haven't seen or Kevin hasn't seen or I haven't, or we haven't seen it in a while, or so you don't know what the reaction is. I think if we went through the original trilogy, it would just be a gush fest for the most part, right? So I figure we'll just kind of wrap it all up in one episode. We're just winging it. So we have no show notes, no time limit. If this, you know, is a 10-minute or another hour and a half, we'll see what happens. But the Force Awakens official teaser trailer, which came out, I believe, today, right? The 28th of November, Black Friday, is what has sparked us to do this. So, initial reactions to it. Kevin, did you get excited about watching this trailer?
I definitely got excited, especially being a huge fan of J.J. Abrams and him taking on this movies, these movies, all three of them.
If I could interrupt just for a second, the reason I wanted to ask you first is because you have been vocal to us that you were a Star Wars fan as a kid growing up. You kind of, as it started gaining more popularity, was it with maybe the prequels, which was then introducing it to new fans? You kind of lost your love for
I lost my love for Star Wars, even probably about the same time as the prequels, but mostly just the items that became for sale in the announcement of the prequels. And tons of items everywhere. Everything became Star Wars, and it was driving me a little crazy, and it kind of killed what once was, you know, Kenner toys, and that was it back in the 70s. And,
right.
And I had seen the originals in the theater, you know, 7 years old, and then again and again. And,
oh, you saw the original Star Wars?
My dad, that's one of the first movies my dad took me to.
Oh, great.
In fact, I think that was the first movie I ever saw in a theater. Which is why it's also very, very special, because I've never seen a screen that big. And then to see, you know, spaceships flying on it, whew, forget it. I was, right. It just took me away. And, but then when I see this, it's that type of feeling again, you know, and that's why I said to you, I said, this could definitely rejuvenate my childlike excitement that comes from watching this preview.
All right. What about you, Rob?
I'm not familiar with this Star Wars. What is this?
No.
It seems kind of familiar.
Yeah. Just box all that stuff up behind you and send it to my house. I'm familiar with it.
You know, it's on three, actually it's on all four walls all the way around me is Star Wars stuff. Star Wars was, the first movie I ever saw in a theater. I was, right at 4 years old, and, my parents had gone, when it opened, they went and saw it, and then they, took me like a few weeks later, something like that. And I remember, I used to joke that the opening shot of the, Princess Leia's ship flying over, being followed by the, Star Destroyer, and that battle has, I mean, that, you know, literally the 10, 15 seconds, whatever, has cost me personally thousands upon thousands of dollars in toys and collectibles. Yeah. I mean, that opening scene as a 4 year old watching that, those spaceships fly overhead sold me. My parents do like to remind me that I fell asleep at some point and they woke me up, during the cantina scene. So that's like really one of my first, you know, memories that, as far as going to movies, that's really my first memory is that scene. And the cantina scene made a big impression on me. And so we, my dad made it a point on, Empire Strikes Back. He and I went opening day to go see it, went and stood in line and went to go see it, the day it premiered. And then we went and saw Return of the Jedi on opening day. So that kind of became our, you know, our little tradition. In fact, the day before Return of the Jedi, I had my tonsils out. I had my tonsils taken out on May 24th, 1983. And so I was supposed to be in the hospital the entire next day. And so about 11 o'clock, my dad came up there and said, "Get your clothes on. Let's go." And so, he snuck me out of the hospital room on May 25th. And, we went to go see Return of the Jedi. I remember my throat was so sore. I couldn't like talk, you know, cause you have your tonsils out or whatever. I just had a giant, right. I think he bought me a big gulp or something, you know, and I'm sipping on it the whole time and waiting in line all the way around the theater and people with like toy lightsabers and costumes and stuff. But we did that. And so, I mean, you know, if you think about like in school, I was the Star Wars kid. I was the kid with Star Wars sheets and curtains and sleeping bags and toys and shirts and, you know, all that stuff. So anyway, I know I kind of derailed a little bit, but, so I was really excited, when this trailer came out. I remember when the other trailers came out and they put them in front of, I want to say it was in front of a Harry Potter movie or something. I don't remember exactly, but, whatever it was something I wasn't interested in because I was one of the people that paid to go see the trailers for the prequels in the theater and then left. I didn't stay for the movie, whatever movie it was. I paid my $5 or $7 or whatever and went and watched the trailer and cheered and applauded and then got up and left, you know? So, when this thing came out, of course, we're so many years even past, the prequels. When the first prequel came out in 99, I don't know if you guys, I'm taking us back a little bit on internet technology. You guys remember like, what was it? Real Player? You got videos of Real Player or whatever. And I,
RM files.
Yes. And so I was at work and, they said the trailer has been leaked. Somebody had a camcorder version of it. And I downloaded it and I want to say it took hours. I mean, it seemed like it took forever to get this file that was like this, you know, the video, in normal size was like the size of a postage stamp. It was like this little tiny window. And if you blew it up, it was all pixelated and everything, you know, and I watched that first, Phantom Menace. And I remember getting choked up at work. I was like, just. When you hear that Star Wars music, and it took me back to those times of going to the movies with my parents and stuff and all those memories and stuff. And I did. I was like, people are like, what's wrong with O'Hara back there? I'm like, nothing. It's the Jedi and they're coming. And there's this Jar Jar guy. I think he's going to be the hero. And, it was just such an overwhelming thing. And then when I saw this one again, there's a lot of stuff we talk about what's going on in this trailer. There's a lot of things that are kind of confusing, a lot of things that kind of call back to things that we've seen before, which Star Wars, we know, is very cyclical. You know, we see the same characters are in the same types of situations, movie after movie. But near the end of this, when the John Williams theme kicks in, you're like, this is Star Wars. There's the Millennium Falcon. There's Star Wars, you know.
I was beside myself when I watched it today. I have to admit, I was nervous when I saw the posting on Facebook. I was like, all right, here we go. The cue up. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna, you know, I'm waiting for Rick Astley to pop out on me. And I know, Rob, you had told me today, and I'm the same way. I have been steering clear of any kind of spoiler, even like rumors. I listened to another podcast, Rebel Force Radio. I mean, that if you want to hear a Star Wars podcast, that's the show to listen to. They have a segment at the end, like a 15-minute spoiler. They set the egg timer, and it's just rumors and stuff they've heard, and there could be stuff in there. So I don't even listen to that. That's when I stopped the podcast. I skipped to the end. So when I saw this, I was really, really excited. You know, the music, and then just like, I don't know, my history with the films, the original trilogy, I didn't see Star Wars, in theaters. I was only 3 years old. I remember seeing it on TV, and it could have been HBO. Mm-hmm. Or it could have been something that had played on, television, like an NBC or a Fox or something, when we were kids. But, I did go to see Empire Strikes Back and Jedi in the theater. So I remember them specifically. I mean, when I think of Empire and seeing it in the film, the big screen, those AT-ATs just coming in.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone on the, on the base on Hoth just kind of looking at each other. And that's what I think of, just that slow, you know, of the ADX coming in. So, but yeah, I mean, I've been excited about the films being made. And you say how, like, you were the Star Wars guy at school. That wasn't me. I mean, like everyone else, I think we all loved it. I guess at work, I'm kind of like that guy. But I am no Star Wars expert. I guess they look at me that way. I'm just the one who, you know, was dumb enough to get a couple Star Wars tattoos. And, but
what Star Wars tattoos do you have?
Definitely excited about it now. Oh, I've got the Imperial logo and the Rebel.
It's like Rebel opposing forces on your body.
Yeah. So they were my first ones. So, this definitely got me like really, really excited. I think the trailer was just done really well. You know, Zurb, you said you're a big fan of JJ. I'm a fan of JJ's work. Lost. I'm a huge Lost fan. Probably as far as modern TV goes, my favorite show. So I love Lost. That's something I believe he started it. I think he kind of let go of it.
Yeah, I've read that
early on, but still, and obviously he did the first Star Trek film, correct? In 2009?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not a Trekkie, so.
I don't think you're allowed to be both. You can't be a Trekkie and a Star Wars guy, can you?
No, you can. You can. As a matter of fact, I watched it with my wife. She had seen it. She's like, it's really good. And I watched it, and I was like, man, that really was good. And I'm not like, I like Star Wars. Screw Star Trek. It's just, I have a buddy at work who is a huge Trek fan. Mm-hmm. And he's also a huge Apple guy. So, you know, I always tell him, it's like, it's not like I'm an Android guy. So we kind of butt heads with stuff with Android and Apple, but I'm like, it's not that I am a Star Wars fan. So I don't like Star Trek. It just doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't interest me. You know what I mean? It's not I don't not watch it because it's Star Trek, because of some rivalry or something like that. Because when I did watch it, I was like, wow, that was really, really good. And it made me more excited to the JJ, episode 7 that's going to be coming out.
Yeah. It's a crossover, you know, I mean, and there were some fans originally that were not happy that J.J. Abrams had done Star Trek and he was coming over to Star Wars. But,
yeah,
you know, his style, you know, if you watch that first Star Trek movie, there's a lot of explosions and there's a lot of you know, action type sequences and stuff. And that I think when I saw that first Star Trek movie, I mean, the first one that J.J. Abrams did, I thought, you know, he would be good for Star Wars, because that's, Star Wars was always much more action, you know, oriented like that. But, I
think Cloverfield was a movie that made me nervous.
Yeah.
If you saw Cloverfield, I mean, that, but that I think was supposed to, I mean, it was like, I think somebody recording, if I remember, I mean, the camera's just jumping everywhere.
I saw that in the theater.
So did I, the night before my vasectomy. What a beautiful day.
I'm assuming those are unrelated. Like, you saw Cloverfield, you're like, cringe. I don't want to have children in a world that would have Cloverfield.
Yeah, they're totally unrelated.
My wife is very grossed out by sounds. Like if she hear, like, there's this Chinese restaurant I used to love to go to. And, there's an old lady that would sit up in the front counter and like slice up meat and things, you know, and one day we're sitting there waiting for our food. This old Chinese lady, I mean, she's probably mid-70s. I mean, she's obviously the grandma of the people that own this restaurant. And she looks at us and she smiles and she nods. And then she walks over behind this curtain and goes, and then comes back over and keeps cutting. And Susan was like, my wife says, we're never going there again. I can't deal with the sound, you know? And I'm like, I go, it's not like she hocked a loogie in our food. She stepped away to do that, but it was that whole sound that just she couldn't deal with. And so we went to Cloverfield and, you know, some people cannot take the jerky motion, you know, first person camera type footage. And there were only four people in the theater, my wife and myself and two people about three rows behind us. And about 10 minutes into it, my wife says, boy, the shaky cam thing is starting to give me a headache or whatever. And all of a sudden we hear somebody like spill their entire drink. You just hear water pouring out, you know. And and then I look and it's not water. It's this girl just puking. And it's hitting, it's like the concrete floor of the theater is just splattering. and then they leave and then we're the only people in there. And Susan's like, oh, I'm going to be sick. I'm like, well, go up there where she was. Don't be sick down here by me. But it was just the sound, you know, but you know, I'm glad that he's not, J.J. Abrams is not really known, as far as like visual stuff. There are some things that that visually he's known for, like the explosions and I think lens flares and stuff that he gets, knocked for every now and then. But overall, it's not like when you see something, I mean, Lost looks different than the Star Trek movie, and that looks different than Cloverfield and so on, you know? So, I like that when you see this new trailer right off the bat, it looks like Star Wars. I mean, right off the bat, we get, what's this guy's name? I just wrote, I'm not familiar with this actor, John Boyega. Yeah. Should I know him from something?
I don't know. And like I said, I don't have show notes either. I mean, I don't think we're trying to pretend that we know all the actors that are in the new film or anything like that.
But he pops up, and I don't know if this is, they're trying to say that this is not Tatooine, that this might be another desert planet. But why would it be another desert planet? I think that might just be, and I'm like you, Sean, we already talked about this, where I'm trying to actively, when they, a few weeks ago or months ago, I guess, when they were leaking, they said somebody has taken pictures of the Millennium Falcon. They had built a full-size set. I didn't view them. I was like actively not trying to do that, you know? So a lot of what happens in this trailer, I've already looked online and found some people like dissecting it and saying, oh, well, this is, you know, this links to this rumor and this might be this character that we've heard about. And so none of that really makes sense to me. And I'll tell you, it's a funny story. When The Phantom Menace came out, I was really trying to avoid spoilers. And you remember the, they released the video, what was it called? The Duel of the Fates. And that was the first big song. That was the song they played when the lightsaber battle with Darth Maul and Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. And, the soundtrack came out online. And so I downloaded the soundtrack before the movie came out to get me in the mood. And there's a track on the soundtrack called The Death of Qui-Gon. I'm like, Qui-Gon, are you kidding me? Like, why would you call it that? That sucks.
Did you learn your lesson?
You know what's funny?
About downloading soundtracks?
This is a funny story. Do you remember when we were in grade school and they had the Scholastic books? And they would have the story of Star Wars, the story of Empire Strikes Back, and it would have like pictures from the movie and stuff, you know? I ordered the story of Return of the Jedi, and it came in the week before the movie came out. So I got it a week before we got to go see Return of the Jedi. And so my dad, I brought it, you know, it was like in a sealed envelope or whatever. You brought them home, your little book thing or whatever. And my dad was like, listen, you don't want to read this before you go see the movie. And I'm like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. He goes, there's some pretty big stuff. And, you know, the book tells you everything. You want to be surprised when you see the movie. I was like, yeah, you know. And before we go in, he goes, by the way, four people die. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, there's four major people that die. And I'm like, oh, no. You know, and so the whole movie, I'm watching this movie. And, you know, right off the bat, pretty early on, you know, Boba Fett goes right in the Sarlacc pit. And I'm like, oh no, there goes Boba Fett. But in my head, I'm like, there's one, you know, and then later, you know, Jabba the Hutt goes and I'm like, oh, there's two down. And then Yoda. And so I'm just watching this whole movie, you know, the whole time with this countdown. So, it's hard. And, but you know, even back then it was like, there were some kind of spoilers like that, but now, man, all you got to do is click on follow the wrong person on Twitter, listen to the wrong podcast, click on the wrong link, and all of a sudden, you know, they'll just throw stuff out there. Qui-Gon's death song. Great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. So let's kind of go through the trailer real quick, the teaser trailer. So we do see a guy pop up, in a, trooper outfit.
Yep. African-American John Boyega guy. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Minus the helmet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying minus the helmet.
Right.
What we would believe to be Tatooine, right?
Mm-hmm. And so a couple of things. And by the way, we
and not only does he pop up, but he pops up and he's panicked.
Yeah.
He's sweating. Like he's very concerned.
He, a couple of things that, and by the way, I've watched this trailer at least 20 times today. I've watched it. I've paused it. I mean, I've gone through all this stuff. Then I went online and I read some stuff. I went back and I watched it some more. So, I mean, I'm like, I mean, people are like, you know, dissecting every single thing. I think some of them go overboard, you know, but, a couple of things that I picked out of this opening scene. Number one is the face isn't Jango Fett's face, or Boba Fett's face. If you remember, from the prequels, you know, basically we learn that all, of the, clone troopers were all clones. They were all clones of Jango Fett. So, you know, and of course.
Well, I think, and that's, but that stops like A New Hope.
Well,
that's like, I think, isn't that mostly like, family members or just, average people?
I think so, you know, but they've never really, I mean, we don't, cause we never see stormtroopers. I mean, if you go to like extended universe kind of stuff or whatever, we find out more about stormtroopers, but in the movies, we never see stormtroopers without their helmets or anything. But I just like the fact that, you know, in I think it's episode 3, they said, the last of the prequels, that there were no clone trooper like physical armor in the movie. All clone troopers were CGI. So in this one, right off the bat, I mean, in the first 5 seconds, we see a real guy wearing stormtrooper armor out in the desert. You know what I mean? I mean, I like that right off the bat. I mean, maybe it's a blue screen shot. I don't know, but it looks like he's out in the middle of the desert.
I would think with J.J. Abrams, he's out in the middle of the desert. And one thing I noticed is that when he jumps up, he looks a little worried, like he shouldn't be where he is and he's got to get running. So I don't think he's one of the bad ones. I think he's a good one, and he's getting the hell out of there in a heartbeat.
Did he look a little short to be a stormtrooper?
I think he looked a little bit.
He might be. Who knows?
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah. So and after that, we get the scene that I think now, unlike you, I've watched the trailer numerous times, but I am not going out looking for anything to dissect, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to stumble across the wrong thing. I mean, God, if you just go to Google and put in Star Wars, you don't get A New Hope or you get, this is what comes up first and this is what's going to come up first for a while. But the one thing, the only chatter that I've heard, or seen, is with the next scene that they kind of pop up where you have, which looks to be, an Astromech's top half on top of like a giant soccer ball or something rolling along.
Now I will tell you this.
This is, yeah.
When I saw this scene right here, I thought I just clicked on a fake trailer. I thought this is fake.
That hit me the same way.
Because I thought all of a sudden, you know, because here's the thing. There's already, I saw a Star Wars trailer that supposedly leaked like 2 days ago, and I watched it, and then everybody came out and said, nope, that's really good, but it's a fan-made kind of thing or whatever. So you got to, especially on the internet, you got to go check your sources, and even your source sometimes isn't enough because sometimes sources get duped. You know what I mean? So somebody that you trust, well, they got faked. So, you know, you're saying, oh, well, this is a guy that knows Star Wars, but, you know, they got tricked as well. So when I saw the first guy, I was like, okay, well, here's a black guy in a stormtrooper uniform. Okay, that's cool, whatever. And then right after this, I see this droid head on a soccer ball, and I'm like, wait a minute, is this going to be some ad like FIFA 2015 or something? Is this like a soccer commercial using Star Wars stuff? So I almost stopped it right there.
I was still waiting for Rick Astley to pop up at this point. Not until right after this was I like, okay, I'm sold. Mm-hmm.
So, and you beat me to the FIFA joke. That was good.
So what do you think about that? And this droid is like, it's a soccer ball. It's almost like a volleyball. There's like orange lines on it or whatever. And then it's an orange astromech droid head, like you said. And he's just, you know what this says to me? Oh, look, here's a good toy for kids. That's what it looked like to me. And I thought, I got worried right off the bat that, oh boy, Disney was like, well, listen, we need some new cute robots, you know.
Wally has a brother. So, yeah.
I wasn't too into that little part, but it's pretty quick. And you know what? I don't know. Maybe it won't be as bad as what we think it will be. After that, this is when I got, oh God, okay, I'm stoked now.
I'm with you.
Is when we see the troopers in the troop transport. Mm-hmm. That we see stormtroopers, and dude, they look awesome. They look so amazing.
Yeah. Yep. They've got a new, slightly updated design. I can't tell if those are supposed to be vents or what, but it comes off of the eyepiece and it connects down to the mouth thing, but they just look badass. They look mean.
Angry. we don't get the full helmet look because you have them in the originals where they kind of come down with the in the bottom, with little black end posts in the troopers. But we don't get these. Almost look like it's one whole piece that wraps around the front where the chin would be. But it definitely, I mean, it has the trooper look. It's awesome. I mean, you get a shot of their blasters real quick. Not much. You got a drop door that falls down that they're going to start piling out of. That's when I was like, this is real.
So when I saw this, I thought immediately like World War II, like when they're storming, you know, they get out, like the beginning of Saving Private Ryan. You know, where they pull up.
Beach of Normandy.
Yeah, and they open up the thing and all the troops run out. I mean, you got all these guys lined up. They've all got their weapons ready. And then you could kind of see there's like this little door at the end, you know, and that they're, and I'm kind of reading between the lines here, but so now I'm like, This is what I'm thinking when I watch the trailer. This is like what I thought the 17th time I watched it. I was like, so is that guy that we see at the beginning, is he like a defector and these guys are chasing him, you know, or is he, or maybe he's a bad guy? I mean, it would seem weird thinking logically about a movie trailer. You wouldn't start off with a character that's completely inconsequential to the series. And you probably wouldn't start it off with, somebody who, is a bad guy that doesn't look like a bad guy. Does that make sense? I mean, like, if you're going to show a bad guy, you show, Darth Vader or Darth Maul or somebody that whenever you see it, you go, that's right. A bad guy. So I didn't get the impression that the guy in the opening scene is a bad guy, which makes me think that maybe these people are hunting him down, maybe? I don't really know.
Yeah, definitely no sense of him being an actual bad guy, like you said. Hunting him down, who knows, maybe. I mean, or it could be another Han and Luke situation where they, you know, 2K421, why aren't you at your post type of thing,
right,
from the Falcon. So
now I have,
I don't know, man. I definitely look awesome.
They look tough, man. And that's the thing about clone troopers. Clone troopers look stupid to me. They've always looked stupid. They look like guys with trash cans on their heads. And I know they got different colors and whatever, but they've just never really looked. I mean, like, I don't know. My favorite.
The early phases, I agree. I didn't like them. As they start getting closer, to catching up to the films, I kind of like them, mm-hmm. But I know what you mean. It in the beginning, yeah, I wasn't a big fan of what the troopers looked like.
Give me biker scouts or give me death. That's what I said.
You know, and also just watching it, and obviously we're just going on first impressions. You only see it for a few seconds, but they looked scary. They looked fierce, like intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think back to comparing this to like A New Hope, or it's called Star Wars, you know, you got troopers who are shooting at them and missing all the time. There's like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Chasing them down a hallway, Han and stuff. These guys look
serious.
Yes.
Yep.
Exactly.
Now, I have found, I dug up a website. I sent you guys a link if you want to look at it. That's got some screenshots from the trailer so you can see some things, because there is a quick shot of the troopers and the rifle that one of them is holding. And so people have already started saying, you know, oh, well, you know, it looks like an updated version of this blaster, or that blaster, whatever. I mean, it goes by so quick in the trailer that, you know, you'd have a tough time seeing it. But regardless, I mean, the takeaway that we get is that these guys are armed and they look mean and they are getting ready to, you know, fortunately, Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru won't be home when they show up, but whoever they're showing up for is going to be bad news.
Yeah. And this trailer, I mean, this film is taking what, 30 years past Jedi, correct?
Yes. Yep. 30
That's
years.
The timeline for this. Mm-hmm.
So,
so what do we have, after that part?
We have the girl, we'll just say the female, who hops on a speeder bike type vehicle and takes off across the desert. So.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It kind of looks like this is what I don't get about sometimes in movies, is it looks more, rustic, or I guess you'd say, than stuff you would see in A New Hope or Empire. You know what I mean? Like, it seems old, real old. But then as I'm looking at it, it almost looks like this, like the, engine from a pod racer.
It
but
does.
Sideways, vertical. You know what I mean?
If you look at, and again, you'd have to pause the trailer or what, but if you, that scene where the astromech droid is rolling around in the background, there are just huge engines and stuff sitting there. So it's hard to see. I mean, maybe that's a, But it's just like what you said. The designs look similar to the pod racers, and Star Wars has been really good with that throughout the years, of carrying things over from one movie to the next. You know, I mean, in original, Star Wars, of course, we saw TIE fighters, and then later on we saw, you know, the TIE bomber, and then we see TIE interceptors, and you know, so they're all related, but slightly different, you know. And so, and of course, Tatooine's always been like a ragtag place of, where people just find, I mean, basically this is an engine with a seat on it. It kind of, yeah. When I first saw it, I was like, it looks like she's riding a Jell-O pudding pop.
It does look like that.
But
I had to watch it a few times to kind of really look at it. Like, what is she on? Is she standing, sitting?
Mm-hmm.
It's so big.
Right. Yeah. And when my first thought, of course, you got to get back into the Star Wars mode. You know what I mean? Like, you get out. I haven't watched Star Wars in a while. I haven't watched the movies. So my first reaction when I saw this is I was like, hey, wait a minute. Isn't Padme dead? I mean, I immediately thought that was Padme. And then I was like, well, of course it's not. I mean, first of all, the time frame would be way wrong anyway. But
yeah.
But obviously they've got somebody that looks a lot like her. And so then that immediately makes me think, okay, this is Han and Leia's daughter. Now, I don't know that, right. And I haven't read any spoilers. Nobody really knows who this is, but that's my, what we, right.
Yeah, I think we're the same way. How about you, Zer? Did you kind of come to that conclusion yourself that you thought it was probably their daughter?
I figured, yeah, it was either going to be a little Skywalker, or it could be another Jedi that we haven't met yet. Could have been somebody else that could have been on there. I was glad it wasn't Keira Knightley, I'll tell you that much. I was kind of worried when I first took a glance, and I was like, oh, no. Why was she picked? And then it's not her. And I think that's something else, too, is that you'll see a lot of actors, I'm sure, in this one, aside from the main three, that will be new faces, I hope. I think that'd be neat,
you know,
to see some new actors.
Star Wars has always done that. Historically, they always did that. They went with relatively unknown people. I mean, I have to go back and look. Was Ewan McGregor and, what's his name? Qui-Gon. Were they? Ewan McGregor wasn't an unknown actor. Right. I mean, they weren't completely unknown. But they weren't.
No,
I
think they're pretty big established.
You think so? And you by then?
Yeah.
Well, and you had Samuel L. Jackson in there, too.
See, that's what, yeah, and that was, like, the worst one. That well, really, I don't know.
Yeah, it's I can't talk about the prequels at all because they really turned me off from the beginning.
Well, it turned a lot of people off.
It was just, yeah, it turned me off completely. But yeah, if you go back to the first, the only person who never showed his face in the movie that was really famous would have been Samuel L. Jackson by that time, right? In the original three. Samuel L. Jackson would be the only one that had a history, and you only hear his voice.
You mean James Earl Jones? Is that what you're...
Did I say Samuel L. Jackson twice?
It's all right.
For a third one. James Earl Jones is the only person that you never...
Would be James Earl Jones. Samuel, and yeah. I guess Sir Alec Guinness... a few people, and then Peter Cushing.
But the thing is too, yes, they were classic actors, but for people of our age and maybe even a little bit older, not so.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I actually kind of talked about this kind of situation with Ferg on our OTR playlist where, you know, we talked about the Burns and Allen show. George Burns, to me, in a kid, was just this old guy who had a cigar in the Oh God movies.
Right, sure.
You know, but yet he had such success before that. Like, this was the end. This was just like, you know, the ending of his career. So with Alec Guinness and Cushing, that I think it's kind of like that. Like, yes, they were huge. But for the younger crowd, we didn't know who they were until afterwards.
You know, yeah. I'd have to dig the quote up, but I know there was a quote somewhere from Alec Guinness who basically kind of denounced Star Wars. Well, he did multiple times, but he, you know, he was a theater actor and he just felt terrible. He was like, you know, all these people are going to remember me for Obi-Wan Kenobi when I did all these great parts over the years. But, I got bad news for him, but, whatever he did on Broadway or whatever, there ain't no action figures.
That's true.
And I got 42 different Obi-Wan figures, so.
A Bridge Over the River Kwai is the only other movie that I've seen him in.
I love his beard.
For my my father, that was a classic movie for him. He loved it.
When I was a kid, of course, when you're a kid, there's no Harrison Ford. It's Han Solo, you know?
Right.
And so then when we see him, I mean, I was a little bit older, but then when you see him as Indiana Jones, you're like, wait a minute, that's Han Solo, you know? And
it's so familiar.
Right. So I went on a kick as a kid. And, of course it wasn't as easy as it is now. Now you just go online, go into IMDb and find these things. But I was trying to find movies like that to other people. That's how I found, The Bridge Over River Kwai, because Alec Guinness was in it. So I was trying to find movies that the Star Wars actors had been like other movies. And have you guys ever seen, A Clockwork Orange?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that movie.
Well, you know, there's the guy that basically gets, terrorized, the famous, singing in the rain scene where they come in and they beat up his wife and they, you know, assault this man and put him in a wheelchair. And then later we see him in the film and he's in the wheelchair. And then there's like a bodybuilder that picks him up and puts him in his chair. And it's like his live-in guy that helps him or whatever. But it is a huge, big, muscly man that's helping him. That's, David Prowse.
It's
Darth Vader. I mean, the guy in the suit. Wow. Yeah. So
never would have known that.
Yeah. So there's all those little things, you know, where you see those people and to see them, especially the people that wear masks because you don't know what they really look like, you know?
I was going to say he looked much different in the Orange movie.
Yes. Yeah, he didn't have a cape.
All right, so well, let's get back to our next little scene in this teaser. Another, it's just like they hit you, boom, boom.
Oh,
we get the X-Wings flying over this lake or something. This shot is amazing, too. This is awesome.
This is, it starts out, and there's like a close-up of a pilot in a cockpit. And the way the cockpit looked, I thought it was like a snowspeeder at first. And I think it's because like the sidebars, you know, of the cockpit come in like that. I don't know. There's something about the view. Yeah. I thought it was,
You're totally right. I'm watching it now and you do get that feel.
Yeah.
If you stop it, you can see the jet, the engine on the side, but it does look just like the speeder.
And then when I went back and looked and, you know, as like I said, I was going through the thing and paused it. One thing that I saw, and I haven't seen anybody else mention this online, but in that shot, to our right is the little thing that's behind him, you remember when Luke, was targeting in the Death Star and the little visor thing like came out on the stick and then went down where he could see like how far it was before he had to fire, like where the opening was, for the exhaust port. You could see that in this shot. I mean, it's like right next to the guy. So there's definitely some throwbacks. Of course, we have the classic, Rebel insignia on the uniform and on the helmet. The helmets look pretty badass too.
Yeah, they do. And that's the first, that's what I noticed. I didn't even look at the scope on, you know, to his left that you're talking about, or actually the Rebel symbol on his, looks like maybe some sort of parachute jump thing, you know, vest that he has on or something. Just, I got attracted to the helmet, how it's black, but then it's got like a maroonish to the left. Or would be on his right side of the helmet, and then you have the Rebel Alliance symbol on there. It's really cool.
Looks good. It's a lot sleeker.
And there's something in this scene. Hold on, let me find this other. I got a couple of bookmarks here.
Well, when they're flying over this lake, too, the way that the water is just blowing off the water to show how fast these things are flying.
This scene is like, I mean, you've already seen the stormtroopers. You've already, you know, seen a few tie-ins to Star Wars. But when you see this, you're like, oh yeah, those are X-Wings. I mean, they're a little bit different if you look at them, but, you know, that's where you immediately, I mean, I was like, oh yeah, this is Star Wars. Okay, here it is. Yeah. In that shot. Now, this is not something I noticed. And I mean, I'm telling you, I watched this trailer many times. And I'm not sure how to say this, but you know, there's the, is it Arbesh? Is that the language, the written language in the Star Wars universe? You know what I'm talking about? It's the Star Wars font that you always see in the Death Star.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name of the font, but I'm sure it is.
A-U-R-E-B-E-S-H, and that's like the written language. I think it's Arbesh. I've never heard anybody actually pronounce it. But if you look at that pilot in that shot, on his little life jacket thing, like down below the Rebel insignia, there's some writing, and someone has actually translated it. And it says, it says pull to inflate.
Get out of here.
Now, let me tell you this. This
are you sure you're talking about just pulling your leg, Rob?
No, I'm serious. And here's the thing. This is the kind of detail. This is where I'm like, J.J. Abrams is the right guy. Yeah. I mean, how many people would know? I would, you know, I'm a Star Wars guy, and I would never, I mean, I didn't even notice the writing, much less, you know, go out and, I mean, I think there are translation kind of things that people have tried to put together or whatever. And that's super attention to detail right there.
That's some James Cameron crap right there. Yeah. That's something that you have to sit down and study to pull that one off.
All right. So Sean, I'm looking at this picture of the X-Wings now. You're right that there's like a water dust trail. They're flying over this lake or whatever. And, you know, obviously, you know, like if you're not in the know, I'm not in the know, about jet fighters. Okay. I'm talking like real aircraft. I know there's like a F-14. Remember, there's a F-15, F-16, F-17, F-18, whatever. I wouldn't be able to tell the difference, but it's because those things have evolved over time. You know, they find that it'll fly faster, or there's an increase in, you know, engine technology or something like that. So, I mean, these things are obviously X-Wing fighters, but they just look a little different. They look like, you know, something that's evolved. I mean, they're a little sleeker. They almost look like, Ralph McQuarrie, you know, like early drawings or whatever. And this was my first thought when I saw it. They're just different enough that I'm going to have to buy a bunch of more goddamn X-Wing fighters. That's exactly what I thought. I thought, yep, they changed them. I mean, if they look the same, then you just put new stickers on the old ones and be done. But nope. Everything's just a little bit different here.
Do you think they look a little pointier?
I think the front,
from the cockpit from like the cockpit to the front. It's just a
mm-hmm. sleeker.
Yeah. And then the engines, are a little smaller. It looks like on this. And then the way that the laser, I don't know what you call them, I guess the guns attached to the wings look a little bit different, but, They look cool.
The mouse ears on the sides.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't think about this before. I'm looking at the screenshot. I'm trying to blow this up. Because of the way the wings are, you can't really see if there's a R2 unit in the back there or not. Very interesting.
Yeah, I can't.
Probably can't fit that volleyball thing in there, so.
Yeah, I can't tell either.
So these things fly by, they zoom by, you get all excited or whatever, and then we go to what looks like I don't think you guys listen to black metal, but it looks like a black metal music video. All of a sudden you're in the woods and there's snow and there's a guy wearing a black tunic or whatever, and this is Star Wars, so I think two things right off the bat. Number one, well, he's wearing all black, so this is a bad guy. You know, I mean, whenever you see somebody dressed like Darth Maul or Darth Vader or whoever, you're wearing all black, or you know, then it's a bad guy. And then number two, I think it must be a different planet, because we all know that every planet in the Star Wars universe only has one type of environment. So you're either on a forest planet or you're on a snow planet or a desert planet. There's never planets that have two different kinds of of weather or a terrain, you know. So I think this is somewhere else is the impression I got.
When he ignites that thing,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, all right, that's badass at first.
Right.
But then I'm going, those two little side, like, baby lightsabers that are on the side of mm-hmm. At the top of the hilt, you're cutting something off on yourself.
explain to everybody what it looks like, Sean.
Well, I'm sure everyone's seen it, but it looks like a normal, red blade. But then, like I said, at the top of the hilt where the lightsaber blade would be coming out, there's two mini blades. So it kind of looks like he's holding an upside down T, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
With two little torches on the side. It looks cool in effect, but, I don't know.
It's to leave you hanging to what you think they can do. Maybe he takes the handle to the blade in his hand and he swings it back and forth real quick. And
yeah, I mean, I guess I could see, like, if you were up close and, you know, you get those two, the sound of the two sabers connecting and, you know, that, and then he could maybe, like, hit somebody in the face with it or something. But I don't know. I guess, of the teaser trailer, just the two little baby sabers on the top is my least favorite of the entire teaser trailer. Him walking in all hunched over like that, like he's sneaking up on somebody, is pretty cool.
So I had some different thoughts of this over the 20 times, 30, 40, 50 times, whatever. It's growing as we go through the show that I've watched this. The 128 times I watched this today. So here's my first thought. I don't know why they feel the need to reinvent the lightsaber. You know, in the prequels, well, let's go to the original ones because it not chronologically in the universe, but chronologically in real life, the original trilogy came out. And you have normal lightsabers. Luke's got one. Darth Vader's got one. Obi-Wan's got one. You change the colors around. Great. Who cares? You got blue. You got green. You got red. That's it, you know. Then when you go back to the prequels, all of a sudden, first of all, you got all, when the Jedi attack, they all have different colors. And I know that there's, you know, the what do they call it? Is it like the gems or whatever they put in it or something? I don't know. That makes it different colors. I know.
Yeah, I forget the name of the stone or whatever. Right.
But then you had, who was it? Dooku, and he had the bent one, like the curved one. And then you got.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
See, I don't mind that. The hilt itself being kind of bent. I don't mind that.
But
at all.
This is the part. And so there's a lot of things in Star Wars, like I just said, that throw back to earlier movies. You know what I mean? Like there are things that happened in the prequels that are exact copies of things that happened in the original trilogy. And that's one way that they show that the cycle, you know, continues or whatever. There's a in the trailer of the Phantom Menace. There's that shot with Darth Maul where he's got his dual edge lightsaber and it lights up one end and you're like, oh, and then the other end comes out and it goes, whoosh, and you're like, oh boy, here we go. And that was like the first non standard, I guess, lightsaber that we saw. I thought this was an exact copy of that scene because the normal blade is lit and then all of a sudden psh, you see these little things come up and I thought it was just kind of a, but I don't want to say it's a copy of it because maybe intentionally it's a copy, you know what I mean? Like maybe it's an homage to that trailer or to that scene. But the other thought I had was the exact same thing that you said, Sean, which is those things look like there's a 2% chance of you hurting somebody else with them. And a 98% chance of me sticking at my own leg or, you know, the first time you swing that thing or try to grab it with your other hand.
It's a whoopsie daisy.
Yeah. It just
sabers.
It doesn't seem to serve any purpose because if you think about a normal lightsaber battle, I don't know. It just looks dumb.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of it. I mean, Darth Maul's the double saber. I mean, that was just awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, Darth Maul was awesome. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean, Maul, I think Maul, it was another, I missed it type of thing for Lucas, like Boba Fett was. Like Boba Fett, I don't think, you know, he didn't know Boba Fett was going to be as huge as he turned out to be, you know, and Maul is the same way. I mean, you just watched the Clone Wars. I don't know if you guys watched the Star Wars, the Clone Wars cartoon, but you know, they bring Maul back. Mm-hmm. And I was really not happy about that. But I mean, Maul is a character, the way he used that double lightsaber. I mean, the guy that did Darth Maul, Ray Park, he's like a martial arts guy, you know, so he had all the flips and he can make that double lightsaber just look even more badass than it was. So, but yeah, this thing, like I said, if I have to pick something out of this teaser trailer that I'm not particularly happy about, I actually would take this over the little astromech droid right now.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, but this is the cool thing about this trailer. So they bring you up. You got the stormtrooper. You got the X-wing scene. You got two or three things in a row that are like bam, bam, bam. Like, oh my god! Like this is a throwback. This is a throwback. This is cool. This is cool. This is cool. Then you see this bad guy, and you're like, oh. And even when I'm watching it, I'm like, I wasn't taken out of it by that little lightsaber. It's just like after I look at it, I'm like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem that practical. So you kind of, you know, in a minute, you're like, this is kind of goofy. And then all of a sudden, bam, Millennium Falcon and TIE fighters.
Yeah, there's the little pause, you know, and the light side. And then we get, you know, that's when we get hit with the music, the John Williams. And the Falcon, but not only the Falcon, man, the best sound effects of all Star Wars, the freaking TIE fighters, that scream, the TIE fighter scream.
It's never changed.
The best sound.
Since 77 or whatever. It's, not whatever, 77. I mean, it's always been the same sound. The Millennium Falcon in this shot looks kind of, I don't, it was kind of weird. It's kind of flatter looking for some reason. I don't know. But one thing that, somebody pointed out online, I didn't notice this, was that the radar has been changed. I don't know if you noticed that, but the, you know, before you had the big round radar dish and now it's like one of those rectangular. So, you know, obviously there's been some, updates to the Falcon, over the years. And, you know, obviously in a film that's released today, a sci-fi movie, there's no doubt that there's going to be a combination of CGI and practical effects, you know? And I think everybody, I won't say everybody, I think a lot of people think that the prequels suffered because there was too much CGI. You remember, why am I not going to, Liam Neeson, I'm going to drop his name all night. Liam Neeson said he was going to quit acting after, one of the movies. He was like, if that's all you do is you sit around in a green room all day, I don't want to do that. You know, and there were scenes. I mean, if you've seen, from the prequels, like, you know, if you watch any of the behind the scenes, like the making of or whatever, literally there are entire areas that just are just blue screen. I mean, they're just CGI rendered, you know. You know, the library where they go to, you know, do the research or whatever. And it's like, it's just a blue room. I mean, that's all it was. And so these people are trying to act, you know, react to things that just aren't there. So I like that this trailer shows us both sides. It shows us, I mean, when you have that first scene, I mean, that's a dude in a stormtrooper outfit. I love that. He's in the desert, you know, I mean, he looks dirty. And then this scene, with the Millennium Falcon is obviously CGI, but that's okay. You know, I mean, I mean, because this Millennium Falcon, you know, before, remember it was like a big deal for Han to weave back and forth in between, asteroids or whatever. Not here. This thing's doing flips. It's going left and right. And you have to kind of watch it a couple of times to see what's actually going on.
And not only that, but you're also flying with it. And it's almost like you're a part of the ship, the way that you're swooping around, following it exactly the same track. Yeah. And, but it seems like on the back of this Millennium Falcon, and correct me if I'm wrong, cause I'm really good at that, but the back of this seems to have a tighter engine on the back too. Wasn't the back, thrusters on the original a lot thicker than that?
Well, I think like Rob said, it seems a little, even to me, it seems a little thinner. I mean, I'm no expert, but it does seem thinner, more sleek, just like the X-Wings. And I mean, yeah. X-Wing's different. It could have evolved. I mean, this is the Millennium Falcon. It doesn't.
30 years later, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could just be, you know, the way it's shot or just our perception of it. But if you watch it too, just like the X-Wing scene with the water, you're getting like a jet stream that you're seeing that we never saw before, I don't think. If you watch the trailer, you watch that when he's doing the, when it's doing the roll, the Falcon, watch that, man. And you just see, you can see it cutting through the air. It's, I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Yeah.
The, one thing.
Or it's exhaust, but I don't think it doesn't seem to be all exhaust that's coming out.
I forget what that word is. It's the same thing like when jets fly fast and do a, whatever the Mach is, like a Mach 5 turn or whatever it is. I forgot what they call that. Entrails? Is that the word? Where the air gets split. It's going so fast that it's actually cutting into the temperature in the air and it just causes that.
Yeah.
The entrail work. But that's again, that's J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, it is.
Thought process. And if you remember in Star Trek, they made such a big deal of him always his trick was shining flashlights at the camera, and they were LED flashlights, regular flashlights, and he wanted that glow of the ship on Star Trek to have such a bright atmosphere. And right here in this shot, that tells me that's J.J. Abrams, because he didn't do it with flashlights. He got the entire sun from this planet doing a great bounce off of this ship and hitting you right in the eye sockets, and I think that's pretty cool.
And the big picture here, I mean, the takeaway for me is that, there's TIE fighters. You know, because if you think about, I mean, obviously this is 30 years after Return of the Jedi, but in Return of the Jedi, they blew up the Death Star. So either they have rebuilt or, we've already seen the stormtroopers at this point, but that would be easy. You know what I mean? Is, you assume that not every, manufacturer of stormtrooper armor or every stormtrooper was on the Death Star when it blew up. But, you know, the fact that there are TIE fighters just tells you, like, you know, there's in some form or fashion, there's still an empire.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you were talking about the fact of the prequels having all the CG, and, you know, with this, you're not going to get the puppets that we got. With the original trilogy. I guess first, you know, we got Zurb's take on the prequels, you know, and for me, they're not the same as the original trilogy for us. You know, that's what we grew up on. These came out when we were young adults, more critical, I guess. But I think the difference, I'm not worried about these new films having the CG. It's what is in them along with that. And I think that was the problem with the prequels for a lot of people is, one, you had Jar Jar. A lot of people hated Jar Jar. Is he my favorite? No. So I guess it's what he does with it. You know what I mean? If that little droid's head rolling on the ball, if that's like to the extent of the goofiness, I guess, or the more childlike kind of stuff in it, then I'm cool with all the CG. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that, I'm trying to think of a good way to say it. In Star Wars, the original Star Wars, I could tell you the plot of Star Wars in 2 minutes or less. The overall plot, you know? I mean, I could probably do it quicker than that because basically, you know, you have Luke Skywalker. He wants to join the rebellion. He meets up with Han Solo. They go. Alderaan gets blown up. They go to the Death Star, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, it's not a complicated story. And then you have a bunch of action scenes that tie those things together. I could not explain to you the plot of Attack of the Clones in less than a week. Like, I don't even understand it. You know, like, I'd have to go back and watch it again. I'm like, well, It has something to do with the Senate. And then they brought in there and there's a guy and I think they're trying to pass a law for the, I mean, even the Phantom Menace, you're like, well, there's a trade federation and there's some alien dudes and I don't know, you know, and so that's the thing. I mean, for me, Star Wars is not complicated. You know, here's the Battle of Hoth. The rebels are hiding on an ice planet. The Empire shows up and kicks their asses. They put people in a giant ship that looks like a pickle and shoot them into outer space. That's it, you know, with a lot of lasers in between point A and point B. That is not complicated. Luke goes to Dagobah. He meets a little lizard puppet. He teaches him the Force. The end. You know, I mean, it's not. So the for me, and that is where you get into the difference between Star Wars and Star Trek for me. Star Trek is more, I mean, if you watch like the old episodes, and I've watched a lot of the old episodes, you know, it's like, well, they went on this and they met this person and there's this going on and it's a whole, you know, it's a big plot kind of thing, you know, where you're trying to, you know, figure out, I mean, not that it's complicated, but you know what I'm saying? It's more plot driven, where Star Wars to me was more action driven. And so it just got mired down in the details, the prequels did. And there were, you know, a few action scenes here and there. I mean, like, you know, you have the pod racing scene, and then you have, but I mean, if you watch the prequel, there's not that many exciting scenes in it.
You know, my overall view, I'm not, there's a lot of people that hate the prequels, right? I honestly have never talked to anybody who loves the prequels. But I look at it like this. When I was talking to some people before they even announced what episode 7 would be, you know, they just went, basically when it was announced that Disney had purchased the franchise, right? And a lot of people got pissed off and there was a lot of people. And I was, this, the way I looked at it is the same way I look at the prequels. I have the original trilogy. You know, the memories and I have the movies and all that. When I say I have it, like, again, that's what we grew up with. That was ours. Everything else to me is bonus. And that's how I'm looking at these films. If seven sucks, eight, nine suck, you know, if they suck, but if they don't, dude, that's awesome. That's bonus material. Like, I'm not trying to take it serious. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be, because a lot of people were really, really upset by it, about Disney or about JJ. And that's how I'm trying to just look at this stuff. Like, I mean, I'm really, obviously, I'm real excited about this. It looks like it's going to be better than what I expected. But even if I would have been a little like, oh my gosh, I still would have went to see it, because to me, it's bonus. I have the original trilogy. And that's how I feel about the prequels. I've actually grown to appreciate the prequels more. Obviously, if you're going to lock me in a room for, you know, a week and I can either have the prequels, or the, obviously I'll take the original trilogy. But,
well, I, as a kid, I was in the Star Wars fan club. And so if you were in the fan club, you got Bantha Tracks, which was the fan club newsletter. And I still have several of them. And I also have,
of course,
right. They're right over here on shelf 28. And I also have stacks of magazines that my dad, I guess my dad, it could have been my mom, but you know, like People Magazine, Us Magazine and stuff like that, where they had interviews. So I would read all these things as a kid. And so George Lucas has backpedaled on this over the years, but in these interviews, in the interviews that came out in 77, George Lucas, and I have these in print, George Lucas describes Star Wars as a trilogy of trilogies. And he says they follow, the Skywalker, you know, family line. And so the middle three movies, 4, 5, and 6, follow the story of Luke Skywalker. I mean, that is the character arc from beginning to end. We see Luke at the beginning of Star Wars, go from, you know, a farm boy to basically the person who, you know, leads the rebellion. And it's his story of, you know, basically facing his father and all this. And, you know, and so anyway, we all know the story. Then you have the prequels, which is, you know, the story of Anakin Skywalker. And it starts off with Anakin Skywalker, and he's a slave, and he basically becomes this evil person. He lets the hate, you know, overrule him and stuff. And so, of course, it doesn't have the happy ending, that, the Star Wars, the original trilogy had, but it is Anakin's. I mean, the entire story arc is Anakin's story. And so what we have always been led to believe is that these final three movies would be, of course, in the extended universe, it's, what is it? Jaina and Jason, which was, Han and Leia's twins. So, and we don't know if, apparently there's some deals, and Sean, I don't know if you've read about this, but that when Disney purchased, they only purchased, they didn't purchase the extended universe. And so they've kind of said, well, now all the EU stuff is non-canon. So.
Yeah. I've heard some stuff about that.
Yeah. So. Go ahead.
What does that mean? Does that mean they can rewrite the ending of the whole idea?
Yes. Or? So what it means is that here's the difference between Star Wars and Star Trek. In Star Trek, you can go write anything you want. You could go write some adventure, and then they just go, okay, and then they do it or whatever. But in Star Wars, right, everything goes through George Lucas. And George Lucas, previously, before he sold the rights to Star Wars, but so he had this giant timeline. So if you said, I want to write, you remember right after Star Wars, there was a paperback book called Han Solo at Star's End. And it was an adventure of Han Solo and all this. And there's the there's the bounty hunter books. There's all these different books. But whenever you decide, like there's books about, Dengar or books about, you know, just different small characters that were in the movies. But when you come up with this idea, then you go to George Lucas and he's like, okay, well, it has to happen here or whatever. Or you pitch it. You say, okay, well, it happens in this year and it's between these movies. And you can't, you can't write, a movie that comes out before the between Empire and Return of the Jedi and kill Han Solo. He's not going to let you do that because it's so everything that gets approved by him is canon. So all these, so it's official. So all these things that came later, the Vice Admiral Thrawn and, the Zahn trilogy and all these things that came later, because Lucas approved them, they are canon. They are part of the Star Wars universe. That's why they have the extended universe action figures. I mean, why we have, Thrawn appears in the TIE Fighter video game. So you have, in fact, one thing that I think bugs George Lucas to no end is that the holiday special, which he would love to disown and has disowned, is canon.
And should disown.
So if you look at, what was I playing? Star Wars Rebellion, I think, one of the games, and you go and there's the Wookiees and then there's Lumpy and there's the characters from the Star Wars holiday special because they are blessed and
they have to be there.
So, so basically from what I understand, I'm not an expert on this, but when they purchased this, they said what you're purchasing are these stories and this, the movies and the timeline and this, not all this other stuff. So, and in fact, you are explicitly not purchasing that. So
that's up to the Disney now to come up with everything else.
Right. So they may not be named Jaina and Jason. They may not, all these things that we have, that was the difference for Star Wars fans is that when you read stuff like that, you knew that it was part of the big story, So if you wrote another book, you couldn't write a book that said, Leia and Han Solo got divorced and they adopted Lumpy. You couldn't do it because it's already been established that they have kids, So I don't know. And that gets into pretty geeky levels of, do you get upset about stuff that only happened in comic books or whatever that aren't in the movies? And at some point you got to let it go and just enjoy
that,
the
movies. I mean, that's a different part of the Star Wars fandom. They people are really into the EU and some people have never read any of it. I've read some. I started the Thrawn trilogy. I think, I don't know if I finished it, but, and I have a whole bunch of like digital comics and every once in a while I'll throw them on my tablet and look at them, but, So I don't get upset. Mm-hmm. They can be named whatever. It doesn't matter to me. Yeah. As long as it feels like Star Wars, it'll be fine.
Well, here's the thing. When we, this is what I like about these new movies that are coming out. I think that when the prequels came out, to a certain extent, they were forced into a box of things that had to happen. In other words, we know that Anakin has to turn bad. That's not going to be a surprise. Like, we know from, you know, A New Hope that there's Darth Vader. You know what I mean? I mean, we know certain things. And I'm telling you, when I watched the prequels, the things that were the biggest for me, and now, you know, some of it feels forced, but like, there's that scene where they get on, Amidala's, the queen's ship, and they take off, and Qui-Gon is there, and he's like, Anakin, this is Obi-Wan Kenobi. And they meet and shake hands, and R2-D2's there, and you're like, Jesus, God, what a monumental moment in the Star Wars universe. You have just introduced two people that 30 years from now will be fighting to their death. Representing the good and the evil of, you know what I mean? Like you're like, holy cow. Or whenever you go to, Anakin's little hovel and, where Watto is. And then he's like, oh, here's this thing I'm building. It's C-3PO. And you're C-3PO, my God, right? C-3PO. So there's certain things that they had to do, you know, and so it almost feels like now, I don't know if I felt like this then, but now looking back, it's almost like they were almost like, you know, when you watch the Lifetime movie and there's going to be that one moment where you think the guy's dead and then he shows back up and it's like, it's just like so scripted. You know what I mean? Like they just do it because they know they're going to get you emotionally. So when they throw in, hey, here's R2-D2 and C-3PO. And you're like, oh, God, I knew they were going to, you know, do that. So now, the thing about the trailer, this new trailer, there are parts of it that make me do that. And Sean mentioned a perfect one. When those TIE fighters start screaming in, I remember that sound from 1977. I mean, you're instantly like, this is freaking Star Wars. When you hear that sound, you're like, that's Star Wars. So there are parts of it that do that, but if they didn't purchase the rights for the extended universe, then the story from here on out is new. You know, I mean, the things that are going to happen, we don't really know. And I'm trying to avoid until this comes out.
Yeah. And like we said, a lot of people haven't gotten into the world of the EU anyway, so it's all going to be new. A different specific fandom that whether they bought it, didn't buy it, whatever, they're not, you know, people are going to get upset. That's going to be with anything. I mean, you take novels and, you know, you have Lord of the Rings, you have the Harry Potter series and I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, you know, and I watch the movies and I would do that. I find myself doing it. Like, what? They left out this part that's in the book. Like, why would they not do that? Or why they changed this? And it just happens. That's fandom itself. But I think overall, I think we're all excited. I think a lot of people are excited. I mean, it's, and the thing is too, if you go down the whole timeline of all the films and you look at them all, like on IMDb or whatever, I mean, every film, it's, you know, written by Lucas throughout for everything. You have different people who made the screenplay for it and different directors. You know, you have Lucas who directed the first, film. And then I believe, was it The Sith that he wrote and directed as well?
Yeah.
You know, in between you have different directors. This is the first one you're going to have a different writing. And different writer and different director. You see Lucas and he's credited as characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they, you would be foolish not to get him on board at some level, you know, even if it's just to run things by him. But ultimately, George Lucas, this has been, I'm not coming up with this. A million people have said this, but he can't write dialogue, you know? And so, you know, he got through the original movies and, but you know, some of the stuff, I remember the, and you know, we're talking about the prequels, the stuff between Anakin and Padme, especially in that second prequel, was just like, ah, it was just terrible, you know, and, that's the only stuff that made me want to fast forward through a Star Wars movie.
And you know, it's kind of funny too. You talk about things they had to put into the prequels that go with the original trilogy, like the battle, between Anakin and Obi-Wan and Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, you know, in Revenge of the Sith. I mean, that is a huge, drawn out, dramatic, emotional fight. And then you have, you know, Star Wars New Hope. Vader strikes him down and then steps on his on his robe. Yep, he's not it there. I'm gonna walk away now.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, you mentioned who'd you mention? Ray Park. You know, Darth Maul. That scene at the end of and even the first one, you know, and they, you know, they explained it. They said, well, Obi-Wan and Darth Vader were like broken down old men, you know, by the end of that time. But man, that lightsaber thing with, Darth Maul, especially the one at the end.
And when he's pacing behind the barriers, when they would shut, and he's pacing and snarling
like
at him.
An animal, dude. And you know what? We were mentioning Star Wars people that are in other movies. We just watched, we were flipping channels the other day and caught the beginning of the original Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember at the very beginning, there's Will Smith, and he's chasing that guy through the city or whatever, and the guy's like, he's like climbs up the building and all that, you know, and he's the guy that has the double eyelids that blink or whatever. That's Ray Park.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So there you go.
He's one energetic man.
Man, I'll tell you what. So bottom line on this trailer, and I think we've already, this is almost a redundant question, but does this make you excited? Does it make you look forward to this movie?
Yes. I'll tell you what made it for me. Of course, you see the Disney logo, but then right away you see that Lucas insignia come up, and that right there got me a little giddy. And it's just you'd have to have been born in the 70s to get that feeling. No offense to anybody who's listening who hasn't been, but to feel that again, to know that something that has been part of your life since 7, you know, birth for me in a movie theater is now going to continue. And with the same actors, you know, the same three greats are going to be in it, is going to be the most exciting thing in the world for me to see. I think that's going to be amazing.
I hope if everything works out, the last movie of the prequels, Revenge of the Sith, was the first one, let's see, 99, 2002, 2005 when it came out. That was the first one that I took Mason to. On opening day, that he was old enough. He was 4. And so now he's 12. Morgan's 9. So next year they'll be 10 and 13. So that is my goal, is to take them to these Star Wars movies on opening day.
That's awesome.
And
yeah.
Then the circle will be complete.
It's like a tradition. Basically, Star Wars is like a tradition now for families.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's my goal. I'm super excited about it. And I'm sure they'll have better trailers come out. And then we will do a sequel to this podcast when they do a next one. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited by the teaser trailer, obviously, and I will be going with my whole family. We're all excited to see it. One thing that we hadn't mentioned that's going to be weird, Kevin, you mentioned seeing in the teaser the Walt Disney logo coming up, which I know you have a feeling for that, which we're not going to get into in this podcast. I don't even know.
Thank you.
But what we're going to miss is the 20th Century Fox intro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Star Wars, the Bruntunt, you know, that's going to be, that's what's going to be weird.
Yeah,
it's almost
right.
Like having it's almost written by Jonathan Williams. You know, it has that feeling. I don't know who wrote it, but it definitely fit with the rest of the music.
It's part of Star Wars because mm-hmm. it all flows
it's
together.
It's part of the theme song. Yeah.
So, well, guys, Rob, like you said, maybe in the next teaser trailer for the episode 8, and probably going to come out in, 2017.
Yeah, you know, traditionally they've always been 3 years apart, but with J.J. Abrams, who knows? You know, maybe they're filming stuff back to back, or we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I really don't want to wait that long, especially if this one's as good as I'm expecting it to be by just seeing this mini little teaser trailer. So
you should bring the little Johnsons and come to Oklahoma. We'll all go see it together.
All right. Well, we got a year to plan it, so maybe we'll do that.
All right.
That'd be a good time. And then I get to play with all your Star Wars toys.
No, never mind. We're not doing it here. We'll do it at your house. We'll come up here. This room off
limits.
That's
fine. You come up here and we'll go down to Dutch's and have a beer.
All right.
So, all right, guys. Well, I mean, that's going to be our coverage of Star Wars in general. You know, maybe next year when this comes out, we'll make another special to, talk about it. I mean, it to me, it's even though it's new, it's old. So we'll be able to do that. So guys, Kevin, you got any, last words, anything you want to say before we go?
I just want to say that if you are going to, purchase any toys from this particular movie, you might want to purchase it at, throwbackreviews.com/Amazon and check it out. And please, just anything to do with Star Wars, even before the movie comes out, go ahead and get yourself something. Get yourself geared up for it.
Well, it's the holiday season. A lot of people doing online shopping. Today's Black Friday. We're recording on Black Friday night. Actually, now it's, what do they call Saturday?
It's Off-White Saturday.
All right. It's actually technically Off-White Saturday here for you and I, not for Rob.
Rob, you can shop for a little longer.
All right. but yeah, you can use that affiliate link. Doesn't cost you anything, and we get a little kickback for the network and the podcast mm-hmm. for stuff like that. So, thank you. And Rob, how about you?
I can't think of anything. Before we go, I thought I would read down a list of all the Star Wars things I've collected since 1977. So let's see. There's a Luke. There's a Chewbacca. Spider
over here, some books,
some other stuff. There's a Obi-Wan.
All right, guys.
Perfect fade out.
There you have it. And thanks for listening to our ramblings on the Star Wars saga itself and the new The Force Awakens teaser trailer. So I think that's going to wrap it up, fellas. And so until next time. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to contact the show, you can send us an email at feedback@throwbackreviews.com or leave us a message on our voicemail at 716-243-2709. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/throwbackreviewspodcast and Twitter @throwbackreview. And don't forget, we're also part of the Throwback Network. Go to throwbacknetwork.net to find more retro podcasts.